I want to jump right into part two today of Touch Type's story. He was kind enough, as he recorded type or part two, to give the rundown about where things are. I think the last ended on when he saw Melissa. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. I want to remind you that you can see that story and others in print at Literotica. I hope he is listening and that his head is growing so big. He deserves it. This is not just a fun, this is a fun story, but it's children's story. Oh my goodness, people, so wonderful. So I am looking for, there it is, Corona Curios, The Throbbing Member by Touch Type, Part 2. Stick around for after the story if you want a little update.
Corona Curios, The Throbbing Member by Touch Type. Part 2. You'll remember our as yet unnamed hero had been woefully excluded from his place of work following an outbreak of corona-stimulated hysteria. He'd gone home, fully determined to continue to fulfill his functions, but had descended tragically into a miasma of porn-induced self-abuse, which had resulted in a hot, throbbing member. A desperate search for a cure to his condition had failed until, at last, at home, he found the solution close at hand, to which several minutes or possibly hours of dousing in cold water had given him a relief so wonderful that he'd stood there, closed eyes, in ecstasy. When he opened them, he was confronted by a vision. It was Melissa. Part 2. Of course, I didn't know her name at the time, but I blinked a few times, and she was most definitely there, definitely real, staring at me, directly opposite, in a window at the back of the next apartment block over. It was probably 20 feet or more away, but in my mind she looked so close that if I'd reached out my arm, I'd have been able to touch her. And she was a babe. Not a babe in the glorious sense, the goods on display, like what you see, boys, try me if you dare way, that voluptuous young women with a still innocent zest for life and sex have. She was older, nearer my own age, a round, almost angelic face fringed with bubbles of tight curls in one of those colours only expensive hairdressers know the names of. Her grey eyes seemed to shine, and her perfect smile caused lines which told the world that here was a woman who was at peace with herself and magnificently entertained by all that life had to offer. At that moment, what was an offer was me, and the pantomime of self-indulgence I'd just given myself. I'd like to say I reacted coolly, that I calmly turned off the tap and raised myself to my full length on the stool as I held her eyes with mine. But that would be crap, and you know it, and I do too. I can't think of a single friend or acquaintance who, no matter how drunk, would buy it for a single second, so I won't even try and sell it to you. The reality was that I'd dropped the hose in the sink and grabbed at the taps, audibly screamed as I turned the hot on full as the metal-bound hose retracted itself into the stem of the faucet before finally shutting off the flow. I was bending next to tug at the shorts round my ankles, uncomfortably conscious of the feeling of damp, lukewarm cotton sticking limpet-like to my skin above and below the waist. It was only when I finally pulled the shorts to my middle, defeating their rearguard attempt to weld themselves to every hair on my calves and thighs that I dared to look to see if she was still there. She was. And she was laughing. Not with a dick mockery that almost everyone I knew would have, but a happy, carefree, open-mouthed guffaw, while she held the gown she was wearing tight at the neck with one hand and waved an unintelligible semaphore with the other. There was something about the lack of shyness, guile or embarrassment with which she continued to look over at me, which made me smile in return and frown questioningly at what she was trying to signal with her single gesticulating hand. I was wondering why I'd never seen her before. Well, I'd never seen anyone at that window before in the 3 or 4 years I'd had the flat. I must have stared out at it, drinking my first coffee of the day every morning without fail. The piled-up grounds around the base of my aloe vera were testament to that, even though I'd got no actual recollection of having done so. And she had a body which, once seen, I doubted I'd ever forget. The flimsy gown hinted at, but did not expose, a full figure. Not fat. Fulsome was the word my mind rested on. Her breasts were well defined, not Gloria huge, but big enough for me, certainly. She had a slim waist which flared to hips atop shapely thighs, legs, obscured though they were by worktop and window frame, I imagined would be long for a height and perfectly formed. I was still not getting her message. I tried a number of moves of my own, turning sideways like I wanted her to do, unbuttoning the top of the polo shirt I was wearing. Each gesture was met with a theatrical and exaggerated shake of the head, which made the curl seem to shimmy in the light shining somewhere above her. It was only when I grabbed my waistband to tug up my drooping shorts that she began to nod vigorously. I mimed dropping them, even more energetic nods. I held up a hand to tell her to stay where she was and kept waving it until she indicated she understood. I jumped down off the stool and dragged a high seat across from my kitchen island. It would be high enough for her to see, but my legs were beginning to wake. I needed to sit. I gestured again for her to stay and grabbed an old Amazon box I'd been meaning to take down to recycling for about a month, and grabbed a permanent marker from the broken-handled cup in which I kept a collection of pens and pencils, most of them non-functioning. I dropped my shorts before hopping onto the padded seat. She frowned as I wrestled open the cardboard and flattened it across my lap. I drew the number of my phone as big as would fit before capping the pen and slowly standing, using the bottom rung of the stool for leverage. I held the sign in front of my face, leaving my cock and balls completely exposed. Only drawback, I couldn't see a reaction. I was beginning to think that maybe she'd left me standing there as some kind of private joke when my phone pinged in the other room. I dropped the mask and saw she was still there, now with phone in hand, gown still gathered in a tight fist. I waved to tell her I was going to get my phone and smiled as she grinned and nodded. "Hi. I'm Melissa. Text only, okay?" "Sure, I'm Bill." I thought about calling myself William. It sounded somehow younger. But I was Bill to everyone but my mother, so hey. "Why text?" "Boyfriend in Australia. Only have phone sex with him." I texted back a thumbs up emoji and waited for her to reply. I got a long string of symbols back. Now, I don't speak emoji. Too old, I guess. With most of my friends, when they did send them, you could make out what they meant from the actual words. This was different. It included vegetables, at least one small animal, a cake, and faces and hand gestures I'd never seen before. I had to fess up to my ignorance. I said, "Nice dick." I doubted that. She could have spelled it out with fewer clicks, but there was more. And I've seen a few in my time. We grinned across at each other. I gave a small bow of appreciation before she started tapping again. But never one that exact colour before. Do you mind if I ask what you were doing? I almost fell to the ground, I laughed so much. I held my hands to my face in mock embarrassment before concentrating on the screen once more. Social distancing, medically prescribed masturbation. Might have overdone it a bit. I need the name of your GP. Our office just closed. We were told to wait for jobs to come through. I explained what had happened at my work. We no longer needed to exaggerate our body language. Melissa shook with laughter. She went to get a high stool of her own. I scrutinised her closely as she arranged herself on it. Crossing her legs, I was right about them. She never relinquished the grip at her neck, even after tightening the drawstring at her waist. She teased from me the full story of what I'd been up to over the last few days. There were lots of smiley faces. She said she'd never heard of Literotica, but would definitely be checking it out. I recommended a few of my favourite authors, but suggested she might explore the full range, that she might find some of the women writers hit the spot for her. She sent me links to some of her favourite porn. From the ease with which she accessed them, they were clearly well viewed. I like a bit of raunch as much as the next girl, but you're probably right. I think you might have sorted out my evening's entertainment for me. Not going already, are you? I'm just loving staring at your prick. It was the first time in ages I'd become conscious of my nakedness. I dropped a hand instinctively to cover myself, then pulled it away, smiling. It was a bit late for modesty. But my mind was full of what this raunchy woman had beneath her gown. I decided to be straightforward about it. You've seen mine. What about showing me yours? I watched her read and detected the slightest shake of her head. She glanced up at me, then quickly down. She started to tap letters into her phone, then suddenly stopped, took a deep breath, and laid the instrument slowly and deliberately on the counter next to her. She looked across at me and this time held my gaze. I held my own breath as for the first time she unclenched the fist at her neck. With agonising slowness, she pulled the top wider, exposing her shoulders. Her skin was pale. I could see a sprinkling of freckles on her upper arms. She muttered something to herself and seemed to grit her teeth. She was examining my face for every slightest reaction. With another deep breath, she pulled the gown lower. It was still tightly knotted at her waist, and the breasts I'd been fantasizing over were finally exposed. They were perfectly imperfect. And at last I remembered to breathe again. The two were slightly asymmetrical, round with the merest sag. Not spherical like so many of the silicone-stuffed mammaries I'd been wanking over recently, but almost so. One nipple, brown and small and surrounded by a paler areole, pointed straight at me. The other, slightly higher it seemed to me, was at an angle. It also looked marginally larger than its sister. I was captivated. I couldn't help wondering whether what I was observing was a trick of the light, maybe the way she was holding her body. All I knew was that I could stare at them forever and never lose interest. I grabbed my phone and tapped. Wow. It had exactly the opposite effect from that I'd intended. She heard the ping as it reached her and immediately pulled the gown back to her throat. If anything, it seemed tighter, more modest than before. She scowled at me, snatched up her phone and erased what she'd written before she'd started with more than a little anger. The new message was stamped out with such emotion that she clearly had to go back and correct something every few words. She was still frowning when she pressed send and stared across at me, waiting for me to read. Don't. I've never done anything like this. I've never had sex with the lights on, ever. Don't you dare stop me being brave. There was another string of emojis, this one longer than the first. I didn't care even to speculate what they might mean. I felt bereft, devastated that my simple gesture of appreciation could cause such a reaction. Such shame. Was that the right word? Part of me wanted to defend myself, to protest the innocence of my motive. I remembered, just in time, the number of relationships I'd fucked up by reacting senselessly, with cold rationality, when what was needed was an apology and request for forgiveness. I did the only thing I could think of. I stood upright again on the bottom rung of the stool and spread my arms away from my sides, palms facing towards her. I held the pose for what seemed an age. The pain on the soles of my feet from the wooden bar was growing beyond uncomfortable. I could feel it begin to rise in my calves. Melissa's expression or posture barely changed. As I was about to give in, to go back to my phone and try words where my gesture had clearly failed, she suddenly smiled. I know it sounds soppy, but at the same time the sun seemed to break through and slowly creep down the wall of her building and bathe her in yellow light. I watched, entranced, as she suddenly stood, mirroring my pose, then tugged at the belt and this time let the whole gown fall with a shrug of her shoulders. She was gorgeous. My hand went to my mouth, and I could feel tears prick at the back of my eyes. Below the breasts that I'd already seen was the slightest round of a comfortable stomach. There was a clear fold of flesh above the trim pubic hair and an imaginary line between her hips. In that moment, I wanted more than anything to run a finger across it, to feel her softness, her contours, to use that as a base camp for exploring every inch of her. It was then that my legs finally gave way. I fell back on the seat and had no option but to vigorously massage my lower legs and feet. I was in real agony, and I couldn't fake anything different if I tried. And believe me, I did try. I ended up with both feet on the edge of the sink as I finished kneading my calves and dared to look back to her for the first time. I was flushed with embarrassment and humiliated by my weakness. I fully expected to see her completely covered again, if not gone. Instead, I saw her sitting, smiling at me, still naked, but with legs together as she straightened her back, causing those perfect breasts to jump out towards me. She had her phone in her hand, and after giving me a clear view for a full minute, she started to message me again. Well, I've never had that effect on a man before. I thought for a minute it was a whole new way of masturbating no one had told me about. That was kind, I thought, overlooking what must have been a grotesque sight, but I was not to be outmocked by anyone. It's a little dance I devised years ago, but vowed never to perform except for the most beautiful woman in the world. Maybe a bit rusty. She was openly laughing as she replied, "Crawler, I'd like to say you know the way into a girl's panties, but I seem to have misplaced mine. Nothing should ever cover that perfect pussy. I'd call you a liar, but your dick seems to be backing you up." I looked down, and I did have a half lob on. I rested it on my left hand. It hardened even more, and held it towards her while typing only with my right. No easy task, I can tell you. All yours. I could swear she quickly wiped her eyes before replying, "Will you wank for me? I'm already soaking." I didn't bother with a response, not in words anyway. I spread my legs wider and slowly began to stroke my shaft. I held her eyes the whole time, despite being wary of aggravating my earlier soreness. There was some undeniable residual discomfort there, but Melissa's reaction made ignoring it the easiest thing in the world. She watched me for a minute or two before slowly putting down her phone. One hand went to her breast, the other between her legs, once she'd stretched her thighs. I had the easier role. I just had to keep stroking gently and then more firmly as I grew and hardened. Melissa's smile grew with my erection. She was working herself furiously. I almost winced myself as she pinched her nipple and pulled and stretched it away from her chest. She stretched her legs apart and ended up with one foot on the sink like mine. First one, then two, then three fingers slid between her engorged lips and up into the deep pink tunnel. She maintained a furious rhythm, only pausing once. She used her fingers of both hands to roll back the hood of her clitoris, showing me the delicate button before resuming her fury, now frigging herself with her thumb on her clit to increase her pleasure further. Our eyes remained locked, but our smiles were long gone. Both of us were racing towards climax. I could feel my balls tightening. I jutted my upper body towards her, hoping to signal I was about to come, begging her to climax with me. As the first rope of sperm shot over towards the window, Melissa surrendered herself. She seemed to lose all strength as her head lolled back and her thighs clenched tight, trapping her hand between them. I watched her spasm, and even thought I caught the sound of a scream as her mouth gaped open before all movement stopped. By this time, the last of my ejaculation had dribbled over my hand. It was not, as they say, copious. Had we been in the same room, I might even have made a weak joke about being wanked out after my self-pleasuring of the last few days. As it was, I just sat there, taking stock of my own returning sensations and enjoying the sight of the beautiful Melissa as she adjusted herself in her seat, seemingly trying to squeeze the very last drops of ecstasy from the moment. The end was sudden and shocking. She sat bolt upright and looked around, confused, until she found her phone. I was taken aback by the sudden movement and even jumped a little myself. She was obviously speaking to someone and was out of her seat and walking away before my phone pinged an alert. Fuck. Work. Same time tomorrow? After checking my clock to make sure I got the exact time, I replied with another thumbs up. This time, I added a big smiley too. She told me to look up aloe vera extraction, promising the video was no more than 15 seconds long. Boy, did I need that one. And maybe I'd find time for an emoji dictionary too. Would I ever get laid again? Who knows? But was there a chance of more of the best sex of my life tomorrow this time? Fuck yeah.
So what did you think of his story? I think maybe some of you, though, with English accents maybe understood, although I understand him pretty well, and I think he reads beautifully. I really like the story. So for an erotica story, I am a little prejudiced when it comes to male writers. Some of them are very good. Some, when with the erotica, there's just... you know, there's a difference, and I think it's a difference in audience. I don't think it's a difference in skill, and touch type. I'm not his usual audience at all, but I really enjoyed that particular story, and his style. It's just very amusing to me. So there's that. Thank you. I wanted to tell you that Friday, I am going to re-air the Natural Ones with an interview that I did with all of the actors. The producer was in the room, but since he doesn't talk, you couldn't hear him. An interview I did with all the actors, and I want to re-air the Natural Ones. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, I know that you can always listen to the replay, but I enjoy it so much, I think it's worth airing twice. And then as well, I haven't done the interviews yet, but I would really like to interview all of the actors. There's that. So I'm planning to re-air that. That's coming up. Watch for that. And the other thing is I posted some updates to my Omegaverse tale that is on Wattpad. I am a Wattpad writer. That's where I first published. And I have two ongoing stories. One is on an indefinite pause. I probably won't even touch Katie and the Reaper until next year. But Caught got put on pause for edits, and I was feeling a creative burst, and I was able to get some chapters up, and I would like to get another chapter up for readers. If you don't know what Omegaverse is, let me tell you if you're a new listener. Omegaverse is a genre trope that is still quite small. You can use it with male, two men. It's a romance trope. Two men or two women or a man and a woman. I write exclusively male, female, male, alphas, female, omegas, just because that's what I know, that's what I like, that's what I enjoy, that's my thing. But there is quite a bit of great, fantastic, excellent work out there with all genders. So maybe you have in stories that you like a more dominant female. There is an Omegaverse story for that somewhere, with a submissive male who's not like necessarily weak and wimpy, but takes a little bit of a bottom role in the bedroom and is submissive to his hormones and his needs to the female. Maybe you like two females. There is an Alpha and Omega writer story out there for you. Maybe you like two men. There's actually, if you like male, or reverse hailer, there are a lot of male couplings. There is, you can find them everywhere on Amazon. There's quite a bit more than male, female. And all different kinds of interesting couplings. And some of them are more social commentary. Some of them are world commentary. Some of them are romance that, you know, they explore. There's just so much to explore. And that's just the setup dynamic of the character. So you take that story and then you can put it in modern stories. You can put it in like past more medieval stories. You can stick it in fantasy. You can put it in something space, outer space. You can do it with aliens. The one key is, even though I'm saying Alpha and Omega, it is not shifter. It is non-shifter Omegaverse. Yes, there are things that they do that's a little werewolfy, but it is totally non-shifter. I've gotten some review. Well, I got one review. This is not where they didn't even shift. So I just wanted to bring that. That's Omegaverse. I love the genre right now. I love how it sets up the relationship. I love the different ways you can use the dynamics. There are is some pretty dark stuff out there. There's some light stuff. You can find whatever you like. And that is my main thing. My next story, Caught, is Omegaverse without saying Omegaverse. It's a magic fantasy, epic magic fantasy, because I've said this before, 70,000 words in it, and the two main characters have not gotten together for a little nookie yet. Oh my goodness. Now, the book that's coming out, that I hope to have out by June or July, I'm sorry, June or July, Her Broken Alpha, oh my goodness. If you love your intimate, romantic, smexy, messy, drenched times, this book is going to be for you. I think every other chapter has some kind of sex scene, and they are not just little wham bam thank you ma'ams either. They are developmental, important to the relationship scenes, but there are a lot of major intimate moments. And I'm so worried people are going to be like, this book is all sex. I'm going to turn that around. I know somebody's going to say that, and then that'll be my next, you know, ad campaign. So that's Omegaverse, and I thank you for sticking after Touch Type to share that with me. What else did I wanted to tell you? Oh, my name. People ask me, how do you like to be called? My name is Isawellen. That is a character from a junior high, a book I started to write, a story, an epic fantasy romance that I started to write in junior high. And I liked it so much that we almost named our daughter that. And there's another version of that, which I can't tell you because it is my email. So I can't tell you that. But I was going to silence my phone because it was pinging in the background, but I can't get it to open while I'm talking at the same time. So I'm not going to tell you that of the other version. Now people say, well, what do you want us to call you? You can call me Iso. You can call me Iso. You can call me Ellen. It is a made up name and I don't care. Just as long as I know that you're talking to me, we are good. I quite enjoy it as a made-up name. People will be like, you know, they play these games. Search a GIF with your name and put the GIF in the first GIF that comes up. Well, none come up because I am still the only Iswellan out there in the world. And somebody's like, what's that book, that author? She's got the weird name. And so you can type it into Google and find me. Sometimes things pop up where, you know, pirated or something, you know, that's not necessarily official Iswellan, but yeah, you can search me and find me. And that's one reason why I like having a unique name. It really works for me. So that's my name. That's Omegaverse. I'm working on Kot. I've got the first rounds of my Her Broken Alpha mostly finished. I mean, somebody's reading it now for me, but I need to, a few details and the epilogue. And I'm feeling today like maybe I'm ready to tackle that. I've not been in a good writing place. I've been so distracted. If you are a friend who follows me on Twitter, you know I've been distracted. And today I had a nap and I woke up and I decided that if it doesn't make you stronger, you need to kill it. You need to get control over it. There are just some distractions that are not making me stronger, are not working towards the prosperity, towards the book, towards the things I need to do. So I gotta either kill it or control it. If I can't control it, I gotta kill it. I'm not gonna go down certain roads again. So I want to tell you, I love you on my followers. This shares out to Twitter. I hope I didn't close my account. I thought about it. I almost did. I'm that close from closing it. You can always email me if you want to get a hold of me, or you can go to Wattpad and read my stories and comment on them, or you can find me on some other platforms and leave comments and I will reply to them. But I am going to be avoiding the addiction that is Twitter for a little bit. Okay, I thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed Touch Type. He's going to be back with a children's story. I am going to do that. I hope so much that you look forward to listening to the Natural Ones and their interview. I will be doing the individual interviews. I just need to set it up. I need to finish a couple other things before I set that up. And they're all on to other things and great things. And then there's another radio show that I think might work for the podcast that I would love to bring to you. Now, if you are a storyteller, an audio artist, a poet, a person who communicates through words, also, please email me. If you'd like to be on the podcast, I would like to host you. It's iswellan.writes@gmail.com. Just put it in podcast in the subject line. I don't get a lot of emails to that email, so I will notice. Have a fantastic day, and thank you for joining me. The last time I ended this, I was like, something about stories, and I thought, oh, I should make that my tagline. Wouldn't you know it? Now I can't remember it. I can't wait to hear your story. Something. I'll have to listen. Bye.